You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
I want to talk about, as we've been talking about all year, follower, not just a fan, but I want to talk about being a follower today, specifically about being a follower and part of that. Now, follower, or to follow, means to come after, means to pursue. And I look for some other words, but they were the two that really stood out to me, was to come after or pursue. Follower needs to trust their leader. And last time I gave you a bit of a picture of a guide of someone trekking through the mountain, and they needed to trust their leader on where their leader was going to take them. And so today I want to expand on that. As I talked last time about Hezekiah, he trusted more in his possessions and his treasures than he did in God, even though God had shown himself faithful. After trusting and following for a long time, Hezekiah stopped trusting, and then he found it hard to follow. Today we're going to talk about weights and burdens that we carry that make our ability to follow very difficult. In Matthew 11, verses 25 to 29, in the Amplified Version, it will be on screen, so if you want to follow with me. At that time, Jesus began to say, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. I acknowledge openly and joyfully to your honour that you have hidden these things from the wise and clever and learned and revealed them to babies, to the childish, untaught and unskilled. Yes, Father, I praise you. Such was your gracious will and good pleasure. All things have been entrusted and delivered to me by my Father, and no one fully knows and accurately understands the Son except the Father. And no one fully knows and accurately understands the Father except the Son, and anyone who to whom the Son deliberately wills to make him known. Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, meek and humble, lowly in heart, and you will find rest, relief and ease and refreshment and recreation and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome." Some versions say, "My yoke is easy." "My yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp or pressing, but comfortable, gracious and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne." When we went away last year for a few weeks, we went to Kings Canyon. I don't know how many people here have been to Kings Canyon. Kings Canyon's very close to Ayers Rock. It's about 150-odd k's from Ayers Rock. But it is the most amazing place to visit. It is incredible. And Claudia and Joshua had been a little bit sick for a few days. And I had the other two boys, and they were going a bit stir crazy, locked up in a caravan with a couple of other sick people. So it was time for Dad to take them on a little adventure. And we'd heard about this Kings Canyon rim walk, but we'd also heard that there was a little walk that goes in between the canyon that's a little bit easier. But one thing we really wanted to do when we went to Kings Canyon was to do the rim walk. And so we got in the car and we drove out to Kings Canyon. And if you want to put that next slide up, Jono, we saw a number of people who were going on this rim walk, and we saw the road into the shorter walk, which was about 45 minutes. And so we turned up there and we were going to go on this short walk. I thought that'll be good for these kids. And these kids looked up this hill and they saw all these people trekking up this hill. And my two boys said, "Dad, can we do this walk? Can we go up that hill? I'd love to go up this hill." Now, without Mum being there and me taking the risk of doing the wrong thing, one of the kids having both kids having a little bit of an asthma problem, I had to choose very carefully my words at that point to my boys. And I said, "Are you sure you want to do this?" And they're like, "Yes, Dad, we want to do it." So I walked over and I looked at this sign and I thought, "The rim walk begins with a strenuous steep climb and is only recommended for reasonably fit and healthy walkers." At that point, I questioned them again, hoping they'd say, "No, Dad, we don't want to do this walk." The walk ascends to the top of the canyon and follows the canyon rim around before descending to the park. About halfway along is the Garden of Eden, a beautiful area of cool waterholes and riverine vegetation. But the first couple of hundred metres was almost straight up, and it was very steep. And we had some backpacks and that sort of stuff that we were carrying. And one of the things that I had to be very aware of if we decided to do this walk was not to put too much weight on the shoulders of my boys. So I took the water out and everything out of their packs and gave them very light packs. And I don't know what would have happened if we hadn't, but we made it up to the top. But it was a strenuous walk. And it's one of the most beautiful walks I've ever done in my life. And if we have a look there, that's from the top of, that's one of the top sections as you go around the rim, looking down onto the car park where we came from. And it's quite, that first few hundred metres is quite steep. But once you get around and get up high, you literally walk around the rim, and it's 6 kilometres. It said 3 to 4 hours, but I think we did it in about 2 or 2.5 hours. If we go to the next picture, you start to see some amazing things. Incredible rock cuttings, and if we just go for the next one, and that's in the Garden of Eden, which is deep in part of the canyon itself, and that is an amazing thing. And some of our friends went there a year before, and they said that they were walking in the Garden of Eden, and one of the girls that were with them started singing a worship song in the Garden of Eden, and they just really sensed the presence of God in there in a real and powerful way when they were walking through it. But it was just a beautiful environment and a stunning walk. But we needed to lift the weight of the kids in order to get up there to do this walk and for them to see the great things. And so as we go and we look back at the scripture, Jesus said in the first part of the scripture that he didn't want things to be complicated. He said life shouldn't be complicated. It should be simple. He also links his Father to himself and himself to his Father, and that what he learnt, he was taught by his Father. And in that, I just think of that scripture that often his ways are higher than our ways. And we look at the ways that we try and work things out, and God's got a way of doing things that is a little bit smarter than the way we operate. He then calls those who are heavily burdened and asks them to take his yoke upon them, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Have you ever wondered why Jesus used the image of the yoke? At least two oxen are hitched together. If we can have that next one up, Jono, I was going to do it later, but we do that. At least two oxen are hitched together by a yoke, side by side. Oxen are called beasts of burden. So why he calls his yoke easy, and why does he call his yoke easy and his burden light? Because he wants to yoke himself to us. And that, as we see the yoke beam across there, if you look at some pictures, it actually looks like the beam that Jesus carried across his back as he went up to be nailed to that cross. He bears most of the weight, and if we let him, that's if we let him bear most of the weight. We need to let him bear most of the weight. That's why his yoke is easy and he gives a light burden. And sometimes you might reply that this walk, this life that's meant to be simple, doesn't feel very light from time to time, that it feels heavy and it feels like there's a weight. And it's interesting that the couple of words we had and what Graham shared is that the word we had that God can do anything. God can take anything from you. He can do it. He'll do it in his way, but he can do it. And then Graham shared about how we've got to let him do it. We've got to give it to him. We've actually got to allow him to have it. What we are carrying may simply not be the Lord's yoke. It might be ours. But a yoke is also something that joins two persons together, just as it joins two animals together to plough the field. If we go into the Greek text, we can see that this word yoke comes from the Greek word, and I'm no good with Greek, okay? So before I say this word, I need you to forgive me, okay? The Greek word, zygnoumi, or something like that. I'm not even going to say it again, but here's the Greek part of the message, which means to connect or to join together. Now, last time, as I spoke from Hezekiah, I donned my do-it-yourself apron, and if you bear with me again, I'm just going to quickly put that on as quick as I can. Graham helped me put that on, I wouldn't get it off for days, I can tell you that now. There are some things that we allow Jesus to carry, but there are others, out of mistrust and fear, that we try to carry ourselves. Often people pick these things up and carry them for a long time. So what we do is we pick our burden up and we don our do-it-yourself uniform, because our burden's heavy to carry and we're going to fix it ourselves, aren't we? We're not going to give it to God. We're going to fix it ourselves. And if I can say, a lot of that today is because people hide things in their life. And so they carry it. They don't give it to God because they know at some point there's a point of confession. And therefore they continue to carry it because they're hiding it, which is doing things in your own strength. Are we prepared to allow God to carry the weight, or are we going to carry our own weight? Saying, my way of fixing things is better than yours. In verse 29, Jesus says, learn from me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Learn from me. Last Sunday, from Dale's notes, I copied something out of Dale's notes, and it said, Paul makes this statement, this is from Romans, that the inevitable outcome of rejecting God or his help is sin. As Paul demonstrates to us so confrontingly, sin is sin. Let's not muck around and call it what it is. If we do not put God in his power, in his place where it should be in our lives, in his proper place, let's call it sin. And you know what? After a while, this thing gets heavy. This starts to get heavy. And you know, you can do things with your do-it-yourself apron for a while, but I can tell you, in the end, it catches up with you. And it not only hurts you, but it hurts those who are around you. We have some great do-it-yourselfers at Bunnings. And I have many conversations from day to day with people that I talk to. And I just want to give you one example of how it works with do-it-yourselfers. Okay? And one of the most common things that happens when you've got a timber house is your windowsills rot out. And there is a process to fixing that. And the first process is to rip the whole windowsill out and to replace it with a new one. Okay, the second process is it's to dig the rot out of the windowsill. You dig it all out and you spray what's called rot killer in it, so it dries it out totally, which there is a cost to. There is a cost to this. And then you fill it with a hard filler and then you paint over it with a primer and then a top coat. So it maximises the life of the very thing that you're trying to fix up. But let me tell you, most people are smarter than that. They think that they can just clear a bit of the rot away, put a little bit of filler on and just paint over it with one coat, and that fixes it. Because you know what they're doing? They're selling their house and they don't care what happens to the next person that comes along. And it's kind of like what we do with our burdens. We just fill over the top. God wants to dig it out, put the rot killer in there, or he wants to take the whole sill out and replace it and give us a new windowsill or a new life. But sometimes there's a bit of trust involved with that. We often don't want God to let carry the weight because we're afraid he will expose us, embarrass us, or it will be too hard. But instead we keep carrying the weight until we can't carry it anymore. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says this, "Therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily, deftly and cleverly clings to and entangles us, and let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course as we follow of the race that is set before us." Many times in the Word, God calls us to give our burdens to him because he knows we are not built to carry things on our own, but to do it in relationship with him. He walks a bit, he carries it, we walk a bit. He walks a bit, he carries it, we walk a bit. We do it with him, in relationship with him. It needs to be that way. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9. And this is kind of where Graham was coming from with communion this morning, and I love that. "But he said to me, 'My grace, my favour and loving kindness and mercy is enough for you, sufficient against any danger and enables you to bear the trouble manfully. For my strength and power are made perfect, fulfilled and completed, and show themselves most effective in your weakness. Therefore I will all the more gladly glory in my weaknesses and infirmities, that the strength and power of Christ, the Messiah, may rest, yes, may pitch a tent over and dwell upon me." We are united with Christ in this life, and he will take as much as we allow him as we follow him. Today I want to ask you what your burden is. What burden are you carrying today? Now, I've got a list of things that I've just asked God to show me. It's not an exhaustive list. I've just asked him to show me some burdens that people carry. And you'll know if it's you. There are things sometimes that we've all carried, but they're things you just can't break because you won't give it to God. Criticism. You criticise, you've been criticised. You know criticism comes from your mouth. You know you've been criticised, and that thing just won't leave you alone. Complaining. You complain about many things that just aren't worth complaining about. You're grumpy. You're just grumpy at home. I know anyone grumpy at home. You liars. I got no hands then. I get grumpy at home. You struggle in your relationships. You see a pattern of brokenness. But you won't allow God to get in and do what he wants to do. And when he says, learn from me, that means he wants you to actually listen to what he says and follow it through. You're unforgiving, or you haven't been forgiven, and you carry it. These are things we carry, not just happen once, they carry. You have a sense of loss, and that loss could be a person. But the thing that was going through my mind when that sense of loss came was that you have a sense of loss of something that you were doing in life, and you no longer can do that anymore, whether that be in church life, whether it's been in some form of leadership, and you are grieving loss. It could be a family member. It could be a friendship. But you are grieving it, and you are carrying that burden. You've been accused. You've been accused of doing things that you've never done, and you carry the burden. You carry a burden of injustice. It's just not fair. It's not fair what I've had to go through. You don't understand. It's just not fair. You have issues with authority. You carry a burden. And so you tend to be picking at things with those who are in authority and saying, I don't know why they're doing it that way. You know, I had an issue with that this week. We made some changes at Bunnings, and I was reading something in an authority, and I've been whinging a little bit. And you know, God really smacked me around the head nicely. He did it nicely. But he's like, hey, you're talking about this stuff, and it's something that in your life that maybe you need to have a bit of a look at. And so I had to go to God and just say, God, help me with that stuff. You play the blame game. You blame others and you blame yourself. You get angry. You're bitter. The Bible says to put away all bitterness. You're overlooked. You sense that you've been overlooked in life. You've been mistreated. You have an attitude of, you can't tell me what to do. No one can tell me what to do. And the last one is, oh, there's two more. You think you're above others, that your opinions are above others. And I have one more, and it's insecurity. I've been an insecure person in my life, and God's really dealt with it over the last few years. We know whether we're insecure. We know the things that we do that are insecure. And it's a burden that we carried. It's a burden I carried. And with God's help, I've been able to give it to him, but it took me a while because I was trying to fix it myself for a long time. There might be others. Have you been trying to fix what only God can fix? There's a story called The Mission, and you may have seen the film. It's a film from the 1980s, and it's set in the jungles of South America in the late 1700s. There's a man called Rodrigo Mendoza. He's played by Robert De Niro, and he's a slave trader. And at the start of the film, we see this Jesuit priest who is played by, what's his name? Jeremy Irons. Jeremy Irons, that's the one. Good job. Played by Jeremy Irons. And one of the opening scenes is that this Mendoza goes into this tribe where Jeremy Irons has been ministering to this tribe. And he goes and he brings some slaves out and he takes them away and he kills some of the tribe. And so he then brings his slaves back to the village, and to cut a long story short, his brother's having an affair with his wife and he kills his brother. And the next scene goes to 6 months later where this Jesuit priest the mission he comes out of in the town, he comes back there, leaves the tribes and comes back there. And in a confined area is this Joseph Mendoza, who cannot bring himself to, like, he hasn't been convicted of anything, but he murdered his brother. And he wants to die. He just cannot carry this anymore. He just feels so much guilt and so much weight that he cannot carry it anymore. And if we can, in a moment, I'm going to show you a clip. And what happens at that point is Jeremy Irons, the priest, goes to this Joseph Mendoza, and they want to try and set his life right. But he said, "There's no weight that you can give me that will, you know, will help." And it's just an amazing thing when you see this. But he carries this burden for miles and miles and miles and miles. And he keeps carrying it, and he's determined. They cut it off him at one stage because they thought it was too hard for him to carry, but he wants to keep carrying it. He wants to keep carrying this burden. And at some point, he wasn't going to be able to carry it at all. And Jeremy Irons says something amazing to him when he meets him, or the priest says something amazing to this Mendoza. He says, "God has given us a burden of freedom." And that's what God has given us, a burden of freedom. And so if we can play that clip, this is after he's been going for miles and miles. Powerful scene. As a follower, our journey is meant to be done in relationship with God. He wants to carry our burdens, whether they've been there for a short time or a long time. The burdens we carry impact our relationship with God and others. And it does impact our ability to follow him. Today can be the day you begin to allow God to take your burden. But you've got to trust him. Because that burden, he doesn't want the quick fix. He wants to do it properly. And I can tell you out of experience, in my own life, he'll do it properly. Take his yoke And in the Amplified, it says his yoke is useful. It's good and it's not harsh. On my back, I have a smaller backpack. Have you seen a camel pack? A camel pack has water in it. It's off the other pack. So on top of all the other weight, we try and carry this camel pack, but this is the sort of weight he wants us to carry. With a little bit of water, a washing, a little bit of food, the word, a lot of humility, and some confession. You know, the Bible says to confess your sins, confess your burdens, one to another, that you may be healed. I want to sing you a song, an old Keith Green song. And when you consider your relationship with God, if we can just have the first verse up on screen. Sometimes when we carry heavy burdens, our relationship with God dries up. We feel like our faith is old. We feel like our heart is hard. And we feel like our prayers are cold. But in relationship with God, we can see that happen. And you might be sitting here today, and you might have still been going to church, but you might have a dried up relationship with God because of burdens that you carry. And I'm going to sing this through once, then I want everyone to understand. You know if God's talking to you today. But I think this needs a response. And so when we begin to sing it through, I just want you to come forward. Put your burdens down here and let God begin the process to take the weight that you're carrying.